Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show on the Saturday morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, Bronze Roofing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, down on the island in Galveston this morning, it is 80 degrees. Today's forecast, widely scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this morning. They'll be widely scattered, the way it looks on radar at this time. Then cloudy skies the remainder of the day with a high of 86. South winds 5 to 10. 40% chance of rain tonight, pretty much the same. 40% chance of rain with east winds 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Clouds in the afternoon, showers at times, high of 84. Northeast winds 10 to 20. At rain chance, 60%. So a little bit bigger chance tomorrow, but we've got a wind switch. Northeast wind anyway. Different than the south. Galveston channel tides. We have a high at 4:24 a.m. this morning. It's a 1.5. Then a low this evening at 4:14 p.m. It's an 0.2. 6:56 a.m. is sunrise. 7:43 p.m. sunset. Moon phase is 35%. And looking at current conditions around our area here, offshore, the buoy out there, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have a south wind at 9 to 11, and wave heights are 1.6 feet with a period of 5 seconds, and air temperature is 85, water temp 87. At Eagle Point, it is 84 degrees with 88-degree water, a northwest wind at 2 to 3, and up at Morgan's Point in the north end of the complex, it's 82 degrees with 88-degree water with a south-southwest wind at 1 to 2 miles per hour. Barometric pressure is steady at about 29.90 inches. So that's where we stand. That's where we're at weather-wise. Just look for rain. Hopefully you get some. Some people will. Some people won't. All right. Well, let's go over to Sabine and see what's up with Captain Bill Watkins this morning on a Saturday morning. Good morning, Bill. What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, I'm sitting here making me a cup of coffee. And getting ready for the day.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going fishing till Tuesday. I decided to stay off the water. This recent procedure, I'm letting it work out.
Well, I hope it all works out for you. I can't believe you're gonna get back on the water that quick.
Well, yeah, I might. I'll be surprised if I don't. I'm a pretty tough old bird. This cup of coffee tastes real good, buddy.
I can hear it. I can hear a spoon running around in a cup in there.
Yep. Yes, sir. Well, I'm hearing some good reports from down there.
Yeah.
Even though I can't give you one personally, I'm thinking that it's going to...
Well, you're plugged in. You know people.
It's going to... Yeah, it's going to fire off here anytime, and I think that the semi-drought that we're having, you know, we're not having many rain showers that are dumping a lot of rain.
No.
Even up there, at Rayburn and Toledo, they've had some rain up there, but it's spotty.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're getting any runoff out of it. And I don't think they're letting any water out of the dams at all.
No, so, Rayburn's, what, 8 foot below pool right now? That's how much they've drained that lake down this year.
Well, I've got to get up there and idle around with my boat and remember where all the stumps are.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started fishing Rayburn, it was 8 foot low. And there was trees sticking up everywhere. I mean...
Yeah,
you know, the green leaves had gone off the trees, but there was plenty of limbs. And that old narrow boat that I had, that 15 Super Skeeter.
Yeah, I remember those. Like I had one of those a long time ago. That's way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I bought one in 1970. And that thing was the boat because you could get around on those old pig trails.
You could. You could slip in and out of a lot of areas because you didn't have all that width.
if I needed to get over a sunken log that was just laying right on the surface, I could ease up over it and bump on over with that old 50 horse Mercury and get right on into that.
I had an old 40 Evinrude on mine.
That was a 15-foot boat, right?
15-footer. It was that Skeeter green, that green color.
Yeah, mine was charcoal and had a stick steering.
That's what
front.
Mine had, stick steering, front seat and back seat, all open in between.
That's right. That was a fine boat. I really enjoyed that thing.
But, I had to put a transom in mine. Mine started rotting out. It wasn't. I could have kept running it, but I said, nah, it's not worth the risk. I hit one stump or a log, and I could be dumping an engine. So I did that myself. Wasn't real pretty, but it worked.
I don't know whatever happened to mine. I sold it in 73. When I moved back down here, I sold it for an aluminum bass boat. And that was a good rig, too.
Yeah.
I've had so many boats along the way, Mickey. Oh, my goodness.
I know. My wife and I were talking the other night. She goes, how many boats have you had? I said, not near as many as Cliff Webb has, but I've had a lot. Cliff's had so many, you don't even remember. But I tried remembering all of them. I think I got most of them, but it's been a ton of them. There was there was a stretch I'd have two or three boats at the same time. It was stupid.
I never did do that. I couldn't afford to
You had to have your tournament boat and a guide boat for sure. And then a backup for either one of those.
Yeah, I had, I think at last count, I owned 22 boats in my life.
Right.
And that's not near as many as some guys.
Yeah.
I got weary of trying to sell boats and run boats and sell boats, and you know, that wore me out. Just trying to keep up, you know, you get a team boat every 6 months or whatever.
Right.
Trying to sell that boat, I just said, you know.
Oh, I hated having that hanging over my head, knowing I had to turn one, and the clock was ticking, and you don't want to be late on your memo payment. And oh, man.
And it never was a free boat. Not ever.
No,
but
you paid
I made enough of all. I remember I was on the Skeeter State team for about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I got a new one every time. And that was lucrative enough that you could sell one and get out of it and really not have any cost. And that was a good thing.
That's all I wanted to do was just turn it. You know, I could have probably hung on to it and made a good chunk of change. I just sell it for my cost and turn it real quick. It'd jump right on
that. That's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did.
Still trying to make money off of it.
Yeah. Me and my team partner, we remember that when bass boats got to be $20,000, we were going to have to quit because there's just no way that anybody would pay $20,000 for a bass boat.
That's what engines are and more now.
Guess what? Yeah, those bass boats that we were running back then, the 20-footers, they were tagging out around $90,000 now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just... That
look
just
at all the bay, look at all the fancy, nice bay boats that are 200-plus now.
Oh,
you know, if you stack everything on them, twin power poles, you know, and electronics, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 trolling motor.
Oh, by the way, you can't keep all that stuff working at one time.
No,
it just doesn't happen.
It's like these new vehicles, man. All the touchscreen stuff and. You know, I just want an air conditioner that I can turn a knob. I don't have to have all this temperature control for one side and the other, because one side's going to go bad, and it's always the driver's side, and it's going to blow hot air on you while the other one's blowing cold. I mean, that's so nasty.
It's true.
Just give me just the old cable deal where you slide it, where your gates will open up under the dash, for heat or air conditioning.
Yeah, I don't need all that stuff.
Too much stuff to go wrong, man.
Yeah, you're right. But it's... And you almost have to have Car Shield or Endurance or something to to pay for you, pay for mistakes.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
For their mistakes.
But yeah, that's right. But it's been a good ride, buddy. It's been a good ride. And hopefully I'll get to keep on doing it for a little bit longer. You know, if they gouged around in my back there, it feels like coming back.
What did they do, actually? Did they just go in there arthroscopically or what?
Yeah, what I had was spinal stenosis. That's a narrowing of the spinal cord where it goes through. You wind up having some bulges or something, and it closes off. Mine was like 60% open and 40% closed. And he said, I'm going to go in there and dig those ligaments out that are growed in to your spine, and we'll dig those out with a needle. I have no idea what tool he used, but I was sure sore for that first 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. What was it causing? What problem were you having symptoms off of that?
It's called spinal stenosis. It's what it's called. It's a narrowing of the...
I know that. What was it doing to you?
Well, it caused me to... When I woke up in the morning, I'd be burning down my butt and my lower legs and the back of my legs. Yeah. And I couldn't straighten up, so I'd go out to get in the boat, and I'd have to use my walking stick to get across the yard.
Oh, man.
And once I'd get in the truck, I could sit in that truck, and seats are very comfortable, and I'd ride down to the water, and by the time I got to the water, I'd be able to straighten up and do what I needed to do. But sometime during the morning, it would start hurting again, and, you know, just on and on. And pop a couple of Tylenols and keep going. that's how it is. You know, you just you put some abuse on your body, and we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran rough water all my life, and some of that was in that bass boat running at Mach 1. You know, 70 miles an hour up the lake, bouncing off those waves, and that had to take a toll. And
yeah,
the offshore trips were just as bad.
Worse.
So
let me not just break out. Hang on, man. I'll be right back at you. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Great place to shop for all of your grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And speaking of that, Labor Day special going on right now, pork tenderloin sale. If you buy two, you get one free. That's any variety, stuffed or plain set up, you know, just seasoned up. But check it out with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original or with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. So let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters, and try their grab-and-go products while you're there also, like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. And their processing facility never closes. They're open year-round, and try their new sausage recipe. You got to try it. It's really good. The Belleville's been celebrating 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:18 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Bill.
A little bit of barracuda there.
Yeah, a little barracuda.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think that we're setting up for some good fall fishing over here. the ship channel has kind of gone dry. Now, you never know that when a school of fish is going to wander into the Sabine Pass area and hang out for a while. Mm. But I think those fish have already started their northward movement.
Yeah.
And the ship channel is clear all the way up to Texaco Island.
Right.
It's cleared up and doing real good. So there's a lot of fish in that channel. That 50 foot mm-hmm. channel carries a lot of water.
Yeah, it does.
And a school of fish can disappear in that thing, you know. But Sabine Pass itself has been kind of lean here lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still catching some fish, but not to the numbers that I was. There's lots of 12 inch fish in there, and you never know when that interaction is going to happen. I mean, they stayed down there a long time this summer, and I caught, and then it started kind of leaning out.
Yep, they're
and
moving.
So that's
heading north.
Yeah, they're moving.
You know, I'm still hearing some fish being caught over shell down there on the south end, you know, all that goalpost area that we call it, and then the south and north levee walls, too. So that tells you right there they're moving north, huh?
Yes. Yeah, the south levee wall, I'm not so keen on that, but I don't see many boats over there. But the north levee, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're catching fish on that one. I already got some reports from that. So that's happening as we speak, and there's a few good reds over there, and it's going to be all right. But I'm waiting for the fish to move over to Johnson's Bayou and Three by Whiskey Bayou, all of those over in that side going up the lake toward Coffee Ground. I've had a couple of scouts go up there, and they're not reporting much as yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of dirty water trapped on that east-west shoreline going to Johnson's Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not many fish in that area right now. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to start spilling out on the flats up in the north end from the Natchez and the Sabine. That's where they'll come.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got 30 foot of water going from the Natchez River going over straight across by the intercoastal into the Sabine. And that moves a lot of fish, too. So they could actually be up there, you know, with the conditions we've got right now, they could show up there anytime. So I'm going to do a scouting trip here pretty quick and get up there and check that out. And I'll let you know.
Well, that's something. How, you know, you'll get those pockets of that weird, strange water just gets hung up the way the winds are and then the tides, the way they move, and it just, you can't get rid of it hardly. It's nuts.
Well, there's some drop-offs. Yeah, that's what's going on over there. That stretch, you know, going around Blue Buck Point is a 90-degree turn. And that water goes straight up the lake at an angle toward the northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get enough of a tide exchange, it won't clear that water up. But there's a lot of water back in the marsh that's clear. And when it starts out, that's when we'll start seeing the shrimp move.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't fish the Texas side too much because it's too difficult. But I did go up there the other day and fish some drop-offs up around Golden Pass, and I've yet to try that new basin. There's so many boats going in and out of there, you know, and dredge and this and that. I'm reluctant to go in there yet. But when they start on building the bank stuff, and then they're already doing that, I might be able to get up there and catch some fish out of that new basin. I think there'd be some, because they dug a whole big basin out. You know, they they moved the Highway 87 all the way out into the marsh about a mile.
Goodness.
And they dug a big old pool in there, dredged it out, and it's still not finished yet. But when they get through in there, I'm going to hit that. And I'm going to fish me some Texas side, buddy.
Yeah.
I know there'll be some good fish in there, but right now I'm
so
just holding off.
So it'll have a boat cut in it where you can drive up in there?
Oh, yeah. It's already got a cut.
Okay.
You can get in there. So I'm just waiting for them to quit going and coming with work boats so much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get run out of there. There'll be a space of time that they'll release all the stuff in there, and they'll start doing all of the bank work and getting that ready, and they'll leave that pool alone, and that's what I'm looking for. You got to strike while the iron's hot. We won't be able to fish in there when they get it operational, you know.
Right.
They'll move us out just like they've done all the rest of them. And Golden Pass, you can still go in there, and it's got rock line. It's a big square pool.
Right.
Got rock lines and all that stuff. It's already completed. And they're just building on the bank part of it. And there's some nice fish in there, too. That's one of the best places to catch a big trout at Sabine Lake.
Huh.
And, yeah, it really is. And the water will be clear in there like it is right now.
How deep is the water inside
those? Oh, it goes from about 40 foot back into the back. It's got about 9 to 10 foot across the back.
Oh yeah.
And you can catch those fish on the riprap going down in the water,
edges,
some of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh,
deep water,
yeah.
Like that. That's good summer and winter habitat right there.
That's right. If the water's good in there, you can, and it is right now, you can float your lure down there and possibly hang one of the better trout that's in Sabine. And Texaco Island will be just that way.
I'll be darned.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
I need to come over here and spend a couple of days fishing. I hadn't been over there in so darn long, man.
Yeah, you'd
find
it.
I won't even recognize half of it.
No, you wouldn't. But some of it's still the same. But, but I did go up there and try some of those drop-offs on the channel the other day. I didn't go in the pool.
Yeah.
There was a dredge right out in front of it. I didn't want to go in there, but there's some 9-10 foot drop-offs, but there were no fish there. None.
Huh.
None. And that's usually holding fish this time of year.
Sure it is.
So they may have already gone past that.
May have blown by.
Keith Lake Fish Pass. Keith Lake Fish Pass is going to be hot right now. There'll be fish in there.
Yeah.
Even as hot as it is, they're going to be there, and that's a good area to try. If you like doing Texas limits, which I don't, but it's so much easier to fish where I paid a lot of money,
you know,
to do it.
Our mental attitudes have changed where we just like catching now instead of keeping. Because, I mean, three fish, that's you're into you want to have a fish fry, you better get a lot of people in your boat.
Yeah.
Get three apiece so you can have a nice fish fry over the weekend. Three fish aren't going to feed many people, three trout.
I did fish up there in late November and in December. And that was some of the best water we had. And there was a pile of trout up in that area. And we could catch, 40 to 70 a day.
Yeah.
14 and a half inches. But every once in a while, you scratch around and get you a limit, you know.
Those are keepers now.
Yeah. 15 to 20. I mean,
yeah.
Once they get to 15, they're gone. As a bunch of people does that, the small boat fleet goes up there and there's aluminum boats by the bunches go up there.
Well,
but that Keith Lake Fish Pass has live oyster beds in it.
Oh, it does. Man, that cut coming out of there into the lake, that's just loaded with pig ears, man.
Yes, it is. And it's 9 to 10 foot deep most places.
Yep, and it'll fish will pile up in it. I've caught them in there before.
Yes, they do.
Just, it's like shooting fish in a barrel when they stack up in there in that cut.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy.
Yep.
Kind of reminds you of rollover on a smaller scale.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well. Well, Bill, I'm glad you're doing good, man. I'm glad you're
getting
out
get
on
back
the water
the boat
this week. And just be careful, man. Just
I'm going to start back next Tuesday and give myself a little more time to heal up.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing this fall, give them a number, man.
Oh, yeah. 409-673-9211. Our Fish Sabine Lake on the web.
All right, Bill. Hey, always good talking to you. Have a good day. Have you a nice weekend.
Hey, you too, buddy.
See you, man. All right, that's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. Well, Angler U, these folks are committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers. All of them have decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding their library of videos to cover all topics in their archive. That way you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today. You'll receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:35. All right, let's head up to Conroe, or I don't know where Richard is. Maybe, I don't know. Let's check. Richard, good morning. What's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
You're on Buckhannon?
No, I'm over here in Central Texas right now. I was on Buckhannon. I went to Buckhannon the other day just to run that new boat, but I've been plowing fields and stuff, everything getting ready for putting some oats in the ground and stuff like that, and hoping like heck it rains. So it's we got a little bit of rain yesterday, so we got about a quarter inch. So that sound, and they're calling for a little bit more today. So might put
Two people got struck by lightning on Texoma yesterday.
Oh my goodness! Well, I heard Friday that we'd done had a drowning on Conroe too.
Oh so, man, already and the weekend ain't even got started yet.
I know, isn't that crazy? I mean, good night, I tell you what. But and what's so bad is all over a dang old hat. You know, the guy's hat blew off about 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, and they turned around to get it, and he jumped in. And when he went in, I don't know why he jumped in anyway.
Yeah.
Most time, either hat's going to float or it's going to sink, one of the two. So, you know, he apparently just jumped in and went to panicking, and his buddy, there was three of them in the boat, two guys and a woman, and the second guy jumped in to help the other one. Well, he was panicking too much, so he couldn't help him, and a woman apparently threw a life jacket into the second guy, and when she threw it in, he got back in the boat, and then the other guy just went down and didn't come back up. They found him 2 hours later. So,
man.
It just all over a dang old hat. That's what's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, let the hat go. Don't worry about a dang hat.
Just
you know, either grab it
and scoop it up with a dip net, or either grab it.
Something.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's just, it's horrible. But, you know, thing is, it just, you know, at least this year so far, I think we're up to two. Over the summer for drowning, so that's not too bad. But you know, used to it was a battle between Conroe, Travis, and Louisville for the deadliest lakes in the state. And I think a couple of years ago, the deadliest place was Galveston Bay. So it's or the Gulf, you know, somewhere along all along the Gulf was where more people died than anywhere on Texas lakes. All that stuff. I mean, good night. You got reason for it down there, but you know, just jumping in after a dang old hat, man. Don't do it. I mean, that's no good, but it is what it is. I mean, you can't, it's hit, just his time. That's all I can say. But man, that's one of the biggest things people do though. When they jump in the water, they, if you're a good swimmer, it's fine. But just when you go to panicking, you're not doing nothing but hurting yourself and whoever's trying to help you. So,
yeah,
you know, just try to stay as calm as you can, if you can, and do it. But then I saw Flip Pallet die too. So, I mean, goodness, he'd been around for a long time. I think he was even on the American Sportsman years ago. So, I mean, that's one of the guys there, him and Jose Wahebe down there. You know, they did a lot of good in the saltwater stuff, you know.
Yes, they did.
And I mean, it's fun to kind of watch them and listen to them and stuff like that. But, you know, Flip was, what, 82 or something like that. So he was getting on up there, and apparently he was having some kind of surgery done and died under the knife. So that's crazy. Is that
what happened to him, surgery?
Yes. Yes, he was having some type of surgery and died during the surgery. Now, I don't know what kind of surgery.
Well, as we age, you know, the surgery becomes more dangerous when you get old, man. That anesthesia.
I know. That's crazy.
Worry about that with old family members. They'd go under the knife and.
Yeah.
But you
may not come back. Yeah, no, may not come back. So
no, you may not.
And, you know, that's the thing. And that guy was, man, he could do some writing too. I mean, he could create some stories. I mean, that's one thing about him. He was pretty dang good. But now out here now, I just got to see if I can't get me some oats in the ground, get these deer right. So it's all good. Man, this grass over here is high. I mean, it's nice and green.
Is it still green?
Oh my goodness, yes, it's green as it can be. So I'm not complaining at all. I mean, now since July, it hadn't hardly rained much over here, you know, after those floods and stuff. But it's right now, it's, you know, quarter inch yesterday, calling for some more today. So maybe I can get me some oats in the ground, because I was kind of worried about there at the, you know, a few days ago. I was sitting there thinking, well, if it stays this dry, because I plowed the fields up, if it stays as dry, there ain't no way I can plant, because you can plant it, but it'll never grow if it don't get wet. But that little quarter-inch rain, I think it'll help it out a little bit.
Oh, it'll make it germinate, I guarantee
you. Yeah, buddy. Ain't no doubt. And that's the thing, you know, out here, try to use every advantage you can in them oats for the wintertime. You know, typically there's not a big winter anyway, but it'll kill all the dang grass off, and when it kills all that grass off, if they got something green to go to, they're going to go to it.
They're going like a magnet.
I guarantee you, it's one thing that used to tickle me. I'd sit here and watch some of these guys, as one of our neighbors has got it's probably about a 40-acre oat patch, and that dang thing, at dark, you could see those deer just pile in there. I mean, they just... like ants crawling around out there, because it's good night. It's a good quarter mile, half mile away from one of my deer stands that I could see it out of, and I'd sit there and watch those deer just pile in that thing. And now it's pretty green, and everything else is brown. And it's like, goodness. So that's what, you know, as a kid, I'd watch that stuff, and I said, well, got to do something over here to make it happen. So is one, you know, one of those things, get those rascals coming your way. And, you know, we had got a big place over here. It's 88 acres anyway, so it's not nothing giant, but you take advantage of everything you can. And especially nowadays with everybody high fencing and everything like they are, goodness. Tell you what, right now they got one of my uncles on the south side of me, he's got his all fenced off. The neighbors next to him's all fenced off. And so I got three open sides right now, and that's the guys behind us to the west. He passed away this past summer, so I don't know what's going to end up happening with that place. If they end up selling it and high fencing it, we're just almost kind of locked in with a high fence, not even wanting it. So I like the free range and stuff, because that way, you know, you never know what you're going to get with a free range place. When you get the high fence, I mean, what animals you got, you got. You know, that's it. So, and that's what one of my cousins found out, because they got theirs high fenced over there. And, I mean, if you run out of water, you still got to maintain those animals. Either that or they're all going to die. So, you know, that's one of the hardest parts about high fencing is, you know, especially over here, because, you know, my cousin's got 88 over there, and we got 88. And it's just when you have that 88 acres and limited amounts of water, it dries up. You gotta make sure water wells running, troughs stay full, and stuff like that. And you can't hardly do that remotely. You got to be on the spot.
Yeah,
you
know?
He lives up in Dallas, so that's a long ways from Central Texas. So they end up setting up cameras and all kinds of stuff so they can kind of watch everything remotely, because he's got, as a matter of fact, we was talking last night, he was telling me he thinks Coach done got all of his whitetail does. So he said, I saw one whitetail doe left out there, and you know, it's just crazy how when you get those predators in a place like that, they'll destroy everything. So you never know. I mean, he had some axes. I know he got a few black bucks over there, but not very many. And they used to have a ton of black bucks, but they're all pretty much gone. So it's, you know, maintaining animals in a high fence is a pain in the rear sometimes. So it's just one of them things. So that's another downfall to them. Now, if you got a big place, you know, 2,000-3,000 acres high fence, you can hold a lot more.
Yeah, that changes the game.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you can hold a lot more, but still, you know, it's funny. It's, you still got to maintain them no matter what you add or take away, no matter what you do. So it's, well, and that's like
Monday, we'll see some powder burn, you know, there'll be some doves. Yeah, here we go. I mean,
there's plenty of them out there right now, but man, I'll tell you what, it's finding a water hole. That's what I used to do. Find me a water hole that they'll get next to, because every evening you can go sit down next to a stock tank.
That's my favorite way, to sit on a water hole in the evenings, 4:30,
yes,
5 o'clock. Here they come. Release the hounds.
I hear you. I love it, man.
Running,
I'll tell you what,
that's,
exactly. That's the way I grew up doing it. I mean, I'd melt the barrel on a single shot 20 gauge, just shooting them at net around the pond, and, you know, reloading is a dang fast, because them rascals just keep on coming.
Hey, I like setting up some lawn chairs or sit on a tailgate and put out a bunch of mojos and decoy them in like ducks. Just,
you ain't lying. They come running too. That's it. There ain't no doubt about it. So, especially, you know, we used to walk around them goat weed fields all the time. Mm-hmm. It's shuffling them rascals up, and that's something else. It's you know, that's always been fun, shooting them dove like that. And I just sitting next to a water hole, that used to always be the best way to get them to me, you know, because you're not doing all that walking around and all that good stuff.
Oh, but, you want to hear something cool before I let you go? I've seen a young mountain lion, a young one. The first time I saw it, I go, man, that's too big, you know, for a bobcat.
Right.
And it was right at dusk. It came across a road next to my property in this wooded area. And I got my binoculars, and then it got behind this little mod of trees, and then it stuck its head out, and I got the binoculars on it, and it's definitely a cat face. Long tail, long lean body. And so I was kind of up in the air about what it really was. Well, 2 days later, about 30 minutes earlier, where it was still light, and that's what it is. It's coming across the road and moving back over towards the bay. I guess it's looking for some chickens or somebody's ducks or some kind of something to eat.
Yeah, somebody's dog.
But it's a young mountain lion.
I've
seen it twice now.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's, you know, people don't think about it. Those cats are all over the place. You know, they're mostly nocturnal, so you don't see them very often. But I'll tell you what, when they get out and they get hungry and get to hunting, they'll get anything.
Comes out about 30 minutes before dark. He's already ready to start hunting for the night. All right, Richard. Well, have fun working on a deer lease this weekend. You and me and other people are doing the same thing that I know of. So
I hear you.
Somebody wants to call you about fishing when you get back, give them a number, brother.
Make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook, just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, have a good weekend. Be safe out there.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Plan them up. Later, man. All right. Let's run down to Matagorda now and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, brother. What's up with you?
Well, I didn't have any takers for today, so I'm resting up. I got a day off. And
good.
Kind of wanted to watch football today anyway. So.
Hell yeah, college football season. Here we go. Kaboom.
Man, it's hard to believe that this year has, my God. Mm. But, no, fishing's okay. I've been wading the past couple of days, and wade fishing is better than boat fishing right now over here. I can tell you that for a fact. You know, I don't know
what that.
Yeah, it really is. I missed them Thursday. I made a mistake. That tide was higher down in West Bay early, and and we only caught a few fish. You know, I spent a lot of time looking for redfish and only caught three, but went back down there yesterday and stayed here on the east end. The east end's got a lot more shell on the shorelines off the points, and there's traveled every stop.
Oh, that's good.
Every stop. And, you know, there's a lot of 14, 15-inch trout mixed in, too, but there's just an awful lot of good trout. Well, we released 125 and
nice,
and had no problem catching them. I'm still not looking for the redfish. They're not showing up like they should. But then I went to back down to Greens. I got one grass bed that I've been catching those fish on, and about noon I pulled up down there, and my friend, that porpoise, it was like he just sitting there waiting for us.
Waiting for Uncle Charlie to show up.
Yeah.
Feed me.
I don't know how many fish that thing ate. It's crazy. And the fish, you could almost cast on top of him and catch a fish. And he's got you got four guys spread out, and somebody's got a fish on, and he goes right next to him. And when you release that damn fish,
it's gone.
He's got it.
That's it.
And you have to leave. I mean, you just can't keep feeding.
No.
But anyway, it's something, though. I should be video and all. That's what I should be doing.
Yeah. They're wanting that easy meal. We're spoiling our dolphins.
Yeah. The only time I ever had a problem with it down in our part of the country is at community bar, but I guess they're spreading out. They're spreading out. But they say a porpoise eats 25 to 50 trout a day.
Isn't that something? We can only eat three.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even eat fish like I used to. I used to eat fish three or four times a week. I miss it, but it is what it is. But I can guarantee you that I'm seeing a big difference in this limit. That's a God blessing, putting three fish limit on people.
I never thought I'd ever hear Charlie Paradosky say that.
Well, it had to be. We just got too many people fishing.
I agree. It has to. I mean, we're just, you know, we're up against so many obstacles, you know, and, you know, habitat and environmental and, you know, predators like bull reds. That's the thing, man, up my way. Those bull reds and those big herds. Anytime you find a school of small trout, you know, anything, you know, like your 12 to 16 inch type fish schooling.
Yeah.
There's going to be you're going to hook up and catch bull reds right in the middle of that stuff. It's like they follow those schools of trout around and feed on them.
Well,
they don't even have to run mullet anymore. They just run trout.
You know, I keep telling you, we're not catching the redfish like we normally do here, but I'm hearing that that same thing is happening in the Colorado River right now, that all those redfish are up that damn river because it's so salty. There's big herds of bull reds everywhere.
Yeah.
People are seeing them at night on their piers, just herds of them going by.
Yep. Well, and probably on those school trout.
Yeah. And nobody really fishes the river that much this time of year except people that live on it. So,
right.
Anyway, that's it. That's what's happening.
Well, your Astros won another ugly one last night.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. That's good. I was watching football.
A win's a win. There was football on last night?
Yeah, there were several different games.
Man, Auburn, I had so much going on. I had, I ended up recording Deadliest Catch. I'll watch that today later between football games. But I had the Astros going to U.S. Open. I had everything working.
Yeah. A lot of good things going on right now. So.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
I have no complaints. No, a win's a win. I'll take an ugly win. I mean, I think we left, 12, 14 runners in scoring position. Couldn't get
yesterday?
Yeah. And we had the bases loaded twice and never cut a feather. Nobody could get a clutch hit. And so did the Angels. Same thing. I think they had 8 or 10 stranded. They couldn't get home.
Yeah. Our first baseman's coming
around. Javier looked good, brother. He looked real good. Sixth inning of no-hit ball.
Well, I'll tell you another thing. We're lucky. We've got two good catchers that can hit. There ain't many teams that have that.
No,
and we ain't had that in a long time.
Well, one.
I don't think one's better than the other.
I like Caratini better myself. I think he's a better hitter.
He's good. Glad to have him.
He's on the IL now with a concussion. He took one off the mast the other night. He stayed in the game and finished the game, but I said, man, that had to.
Are you kidding me?
That had to rattle his cage, and it did. He's got a concussion. He's out on the IL.
Oh, man.
Yiner was hurt with that one he took off the wrist. That rookie catcher did real good. He did a fine job, but Yiner was back last night. I think he grounded out at third base twice with the bases loaded. That wasn't too good.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he'll get hot.
Yeah. We're batting against a fly ball pitcher and couldn't get a fly ball, to get a run home from third. So, anyway, it's baseball. Well, it's a strange game. That's why I love it.
Yes, it is.
All right, Charlie P., give him a number. Somebody wants to call you.
713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. You have a good one.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, Charlie. See ya.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.